God made the world and all its wonders for man to explore. And there are countless wonders just outside your front door. Now join natural world photographer and journalist Roger W. Downs as he shares the stories of the people, places, music, and cuisines he has discovered as we explore with RWD.
Hey, welcome on into episode 11. I'm Roger W. Downs, your host, also known as RWD. That's why this podcast is entitled Explore with RWD. And if you're new to this podcast, what I like to do is share the stories behind the people and places I discover while I'm out shooting photography of the natural world. That includes landscapes, wildlife, and then sometimes I just like to talk to people and tell their story as well, especially the really intriguing ones. But before we go any further, I just want to thank God for another chance to share some stories with you, entertain you a little bit. Maybe you're sitting at home or driving somewhere in the car trying to get through all this COVID-19 garbage. Please, Lord, be with all of us through the holiday season and also to help keep us safe as COVID numbers continue to spike around the world. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So when I first moved to Asheville in 2013 following a radio gig, I took some time to step out into the Pisgah National Forest and immediately fell in love. Now, I came to this area because of the mountains and the forests that were around, but the Pisgah National Forest just touched me. It felt like home to me, and I absolutely love venturing out into it. I always discover something new while I'm there, and I've been here for years now, but as you fall in love with something or someone, you always want to give back. And I wasn't exactly sure how to do that until I discovered the newly formed Pisgah Conservancy. And John Cottingham is the founder of that conservancy. And we're going to chat with him about how you too can give back either by volunteering your time or donating money, and also the history of how it all came into play. And what's really interesting is the fact that he has to fly across the nation to make his dedication to that conservancy. But I think it's best if John tells his own story, and that's next with Explore with RWD.
Don't go too far. Explore with RWD will be right back.
Those are the melodies of Native American Matthew Tunai, who not only is a cultural storyteller for the Cherokee Nation in Cherokee, North Carolina, but also an accomplished and award-winning musician and Baptist minister. So how does Matthew weave his culture, his religion, and talents all together? Well, that is a story you have to hear for yourself in Episode 4 of Explore with RWD. Or read about it now at explorewithrwd.com.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD. I'm Roger W. Downs, your host. And on the phone with us, as promised, is John Cottingham, the founder of the Pisgah Conservancy. John, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here, Roger. Thanks for having me.
So I want people to get to know you a little bit because I find your story amazing. You currently live in California, but you travel all the way across the nation to come back here to Western North Carolina to help to preserve the Pisgah National Forest. And there's so many beautiful forests in California. What made you decide to come back here?
Well, that's where I grew up, Roger. I grew up and spent my summers near Hendersonville. My father ran Camp Pinnacle, which you may know, is over near Hendersonville. He worked at Furman during the winters, and then we were at camp in the summer. And we would go from there up into Pisgah, either with my family going on picnics or going with camp groups to Sliding Rock and whatnot, or going on overnight trips up into the wilderness area from the camp. So Pisgah National Forest, and particularly the Pisgah Ranger District, were really important to me in my upbringing, or just in my development as a young person. It was a very special place to me. And So at the end of my career, which had me end up, I was all over the place, but ended up in California, I decided I wanted to give back to Pisgah. I had been, at this point in time, had been going camping in Pisgah for 40 years with a group of friends who were camp counselors. And every year in the fall, we would go to Pisgah and go camping. And during that period of time, I had frankly seen degradation happening around us in the forest. You know, we had increasing usage and reducing federal funding to take care of it. And it was apparent on the trails and things. And we had had so much personal benefit from that national forest in my life that I remember saying to some friends of mine, we were just talking about this and saying, you know, gee, I'd love to give back and make this better, and kind of help this incredible asset that was here and help take care of it. And so, you know, that idea was kind of in my mind for a long time, and, you know, career and children and lots of things intervened, but I never lost sight of it. And so when I retired, I was thinking about different things I was doing, you know, philanthropically, and I said, well, what are the things that really matter most to you? Is that what you're, you know, making donations to? And I instantly thought of Pisgah, which is kind of curious, but it had such an impact on me as a young person that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I said, well, you know, I should find a way to make a contribution to Pisgah, thinking back to that conversation I'd had years ago, saying these trails and things are going downhill, no pun intended.
right.
And we ought to try to do something about it. So I went online, and I looked for things like, I mean, I was familiar with the Yosemite Conservancy out here in California, and I said, well, is there a Pisgah Conservancy? Well, no, there's not. I was familiar with Friends of the Smokies. I said, is there a Friends kind of named group supporting Pisgah? Well, no, there's not. And I looked at everything I could think of, and I couldn't find anything. And I was surprised by that. And I actually tried this several times, and just to no avail. And so on one of my trips back to the East Coast, and partly in answer to your question, you know, I still have family and friends in the North Carolina area, so I was going back and forth over there to some extent anyway to see my family mm-hmm. and those friends. But on one of those trips, I was up in Pisgah, and I just decided to stop by the ranger station and see if I could make a donation, and I went in, and the people at the front desk kind of shook their head and said, I don't know how to do that. But we'll call one of the rangers out here, and got them out to the gift shop area there. And one of them came out and said, kind of really just kind of put up her hands, you know, and kind of a shrug. I'm like, well, there's no way we can do that. You can't make a contribution. The gal I was with, it still lasts to this day, she said, I couldn't believe it. You're there trying to give them money, and they wouldn't take it, you know. And it was, you know, it was kind of frustrating and kind of funny, and just like, why is this? Mm-hmm. But they did put me in touch with a gentleman by the name of Carlton Murray, who was the head of the Cradle of Forestry at the time, and which you may be familiar with there in Pisgah. Mm-hmm. And Carlton and I got together and started. We had a couple of like breakfast meetings over the time when I would come into town, and you know, that organization had recognized the need for private support of Pisgah, and I was, you know, trying to be supportive of it. He introduced me to the head ranger there, who at the time was a fellow by the name of Derek Barquin, and we got our heads together. I mean, this turned out it was one of the five key goals that Derek had in his, you know, when he first came into the job there in Pisgah, was to help establish some kind of private support group for Pisgah. So they brought me together with a host of representatives of other user groups in Pisgah, the mountain bikers, the hikers, the trail runners, the horsemen, the fishermen, mm-hmm. you know, you name it. And we all got around a table, and I said, you know, I've been looking for a way to contribute to Pisgah. I've been online. I've looked, and I don't find anything. So part of this meeting is tell me if I'm just missing it and there's something out there already. And they said, no, there isn't. And then tell me if you think that's something that's needed. And they basically said, absolutely. You know, this is something we've been talking about for years, and just nobody has done it. So at that point in time, I'd been retired for about a year, and I was a year and a half, and I was kind of getting tired of just kind of sitting around with nothing to do.
Right. And you get kind of itchy.
You get a little bit itchy, and I said, well, hey, why don't we start up an organization, and I can help get it started. I'm a corporate lawyer by background, so it'd be fairly easy for me to do the legal work of getting an organization up and running, and I'll run this thing for a little while and see how it goes. And that was kind of taking a bigger plunge than I realized at the time. But that's how we got started, and shortly thereafter formed the Pisgah Conservancy, and we're off to the races.
Now, what year was that?
That was, I should know this. I believe that was the fall of 2016.
Okay.
Here, I'll look it up and I'll tell you for sure.
So it's a young conservancy at this point.
Yeah, it's been about 4 years or so.
Well, that's great though. I mean, even if you've been doing it for 10 years, it's still relatively young compared to some conservancies and like Friends of the Smokies have been around for a long time. So let's talk a little bit about what the conservancy does for the Pisgah National Forest for people who don't know, and which may inspire them to get involved or to donate funds to help out.
Sure, and I was wrong. It was. It was a year earlier than that. It was the October of 2015 was when we officially started, and we've really just got public in the spring of 2016 when we established a website and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So that's the timing. In a nutshell, to answer your question, the mission statement of the organization is to preserve the natural resources and scenic beauty of Pisgah and enhance the recreational experience of all its visitors. So that's in a nutshell what we're trying to do. We're trying to take care of this resource, mm-hmm. and preserve it for future generations and improve the experience of people who go there to use it.
So what are some of the projects that the Pisgah Conservancy is working on, let's say this spring or maybe even this summer? Hopefully, if we have a vaccine with COVID-19, I'm sure you've probably put some stuff on the back burner because of that. But or what projects have you guys worked on?
Well, we've done a number of things, and some of these you can see on our website. You can go look at some videos of different things we've done. And maybe give you a better idea, but we've sort of had two main volunteer activities. One has been my colleague Laveau Davis and I were riding around one day, and we've been reading all this stuff in the paper about people dumping trash, you know, at different places on Pisgah and stuff like that. And we said, you know, people just aren't taking enough pride in taking care of this resource, and we need to address that. And so we came up with this idea of let's have a big shindig, get everybody together and have a big volunteer work day and try to address a number of issues at one time. And so we ended up calling that Pisgah Pride Day. We've done that now four times. And each time we've had roughly 300 people show up. I mean, it was funny when we had this conversation, when we started planning this, we said, well, I don't know if we're going to have 50 people or, you know, 5,000, you know, you didn't know. And we've worked with the Forest Service and planned out a schedule of different things we're going to do. And we kind of had some flex in it. So to try to figure out how many people we could handle, but how many people was sort of critical mass to do this. But mm-hmm. anyway, for whatever reason, 300 people called and showed up, and we had them out on like 17, 18 different projects all in one day.
Wow.
And got together at the end of the day and had a beer and gave everybody a t-shirt and, you know, and said, wow, that really worked well. So let's do it again.
And
you know, that was, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when do you typically do that?
Well, we would have an array of projects. We've got an array of volunteers who go from, you know, probably 5 years old to 85 years old. And so all kinds of different, you know, physical abilities and stuff. So we would have, you know, some of the stronger, healthier people doing heavy trail maintenance or building, you know, bridges or doing things with rock or whatever, building turnpike trails, which is basically railings of locust rails on the side with gravel in the middle, that kind of thing. We'd have that on one end of the spectrum for degree of difficulty or exertion required, down to, you know, probably picking up trash on the other end, which is, you know, most anybody can do. And we would have, you know, we've done gardening at the ranger station. We've done all sorts of trail projects. I mean, that's probably what we do more than anything, but also a lot of invasive species removal, getting rid of kudzu or multiflora rose or autumn olive or whatever it is. And we've had some river cleanup projects. We've had projects where, I mean, the first year, one of the things that I had noticed, if you go to Looking Glass Falls, which is a kind of an iconic place there in Pisgah.
Yeah, love that one.
There's a viewing platform there. And when we started this organization, you literally could not see the falls from the viewing platform because all the undergrowth had come up so high. You couldn't see the waterfall from the viewing platform.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that. Back in 2013, I kind of thought, oh, this is nice. I didn't even know it was a viewing platform. I thought, honestly, it was just someplace you kind of rested after you got back up the stairs.
Just a wide spot.
Yeah.
So that first year we had a project there, and we've had another one since then of people, you know, clearing, you know, everything that had grown up there, and also putting down some mulch up at the top and doing some other cleanup work around there. So that was one of the projects. But so it's been a wide array of things that we do in that Pisgah Pride Day. And so that, as I started to tell you, that's kind of one of the things that we've done. Another thing in terms of volunteer work, we would do just an array of projects over the course of the year. One of the things we heard after this first Pisgah Pride Day was, gee, this was wonderful. I want more. You know, give me more opportunities to do this, and I don't want to wait until next year when we do this. And so we've had other projects throughout the year. We have two people now working for us who are joint Pisgah Conservancy Forest Service employees year-round, and they're coordinating projects, you know, on an ongoing basis. And so there would be all the kinds of things I just mentioned, but just sort of one at a time instead of a whole agglomeration of them at once.
Right. So you do it throughout the year. So if this project needs done because something happens in this part of the forest or a trail starts to fall apart, and that can happen too just because of weather. You get a real bad downpour like we've had over this summer. You could very well have a lot of erosion on a trail just naturally.
Right. And I hasten to add that the organizations that are represented in our advisory council that I mentioned earlier, we brought representatives of these different user groups together. Some of them do regular maintenance work on the trails, like the Carolina Mountain Club and the Sorba mountain biking group and the Backcountry Horsemen and Trout Unlimited. These groups are out there on a regular basis. Some of them have multi-crews every week out there doing work on these trails. And one of the things I think has been, I think it's part of the reason we've been successful here, is we've never wanted to step on anybody's toes. We're not trying to recreate anything anybody else is doing. We're trying to work with them and fill in the gaps where things have not happened. And so we work with those groups on a regular basis to enhance one of their projects or vice versa. And those groups and with others in the region to do projects on a collaborative basis.
Well, that goes a long way. If you can work as a team opposed to trying to outshow each other, then you're really going to make a huge difference, especially in the long run for the forest. And let me just applaud your efforts and everybody's efforts who clean up the forest, because I absolutely love the Pisgah National Forest. It was one of the reasons that I moved to Asheville, was because years ago I moved here to work for 99.9 Kiss Country. And when I came here and was on the interview, I was able to explore the Pisgah National Forest a little bit. And I thought, this is just down the road from where I could live. And I was from Northeast Ohio, and we had Lake Erie, which was great. But I've always loved the mountains and the forest and the streams and the wildlife. And when I found out I could escape into the forest, I have to tell you, I didn't care how much Kiss Country paid me. I was going to come here and work.
Yeah, it's a pretty special thing there. There's one of the members of our advisory council who lives right there and owns a bike shop. And I remember him telling me that, you know, he went traveling around some after he, you know, became an adult and realized not everybody has one of those in their backyard. It was a revelation to him.
Right.
Kind of the opposite of what you experienced.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, there's a lot of places that don't have the benefit to have a national forest in their backyard where you can escape out into the woodlands or go fish a stream or take a trail up the side of a mountain and get this magnificent view. It's just so beautiful. And I can see why so many people, like 300 people, would show up and say, yeah, we want to maintain this. So if more people want to get involved with that, John, how do they go about getting in contact with the Pisgah Conservancy? Do they need to call someone? Do they need to fill out a form on a website? What's the process?
Yeah, the easiest thing probably is just to go to our website, which is pisgahconservancy.org. Or they could email us at info@pisgahconservancy.org. And just, I mean, there's a way to sign up there to volunteer or to donate money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get on our mailing list. We don't actually send hard copy mail, but we do a monthly newsletter that tells you about different things that we're working on and what's coming up. And, yeah, that's the best way to do it.
All right. Once again, what's that website?
It's PisgahConservancy.org.
And I'll make sure to put that in the description of this podcast, so no matter what platform you're on, you can be able to find the link directly to that website and then get involved and become a part of keeping the Pisgah National Forest a pristine resource for not just the folks who live in Western North Carolina and the upstate, but we have people from all over. And John, you're in California, of course, but we have people from all over who come here, and I mean all over the world, who come here to see the Pisgah National Forest and to enjoy that resource. And as good stewards of that resource, we should really be involved. And I know I'll get involved more now, John, especially with the conservancy that I've discovered, you guys. And I want to certainly either donate or be able to go clean up a trail or whatever I can do so that it's available to my kids and my grandchildren.
Well, thanks so much. And, you know, what you mentioned is part of the issue. I mean, when I was growing up, I would wager a guess that there weren't that many people from all over the world who were coming there or from all over the United States. But that's the case now. And we have more and more usership of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's part of the reason we need to take our game up a notch in terms of taking care of it.
Exactly. Well, Asheville has really become a destination city. So, and that's also because it has, I think, 8 forests that border it. So
right.
I can see why people are attracted to it. I moved here for that very reason. But I think if you're going to move here and live here, and or if you're even going to visit the forest on a regular occurrence, then get involved and make one of your trips up here with your kids part of helping to keep the trails in good working order, or to help clean up the forest and teach your children that conservancy is a huge part of being a responsible user of the natural resources.
Yeah, I think it is, Roger. I was just thinking about something that happened the first time we had one of these Pisgah Pride Days.
Mm-hmm.
We had a woman there who was working with us at the ranger station who was up in her 80s. I don't know exactly how old it was. But she came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity. She said, I've been loving this forest all my life. I've been coming here using it, and I've never had a way to give back to it. And it means so much to me. I'm getting emotional saying it. It means so much to me that we were planting some spruce trees there. She said that we're planting these native spruce trees here that future generations are going to be able to enjoy because of what we did today. And I just want to thank you so much for providing that opportunity. And I mean, it's that kind of spirit, you know, that we're trying to tap into.
Yeah, and there's a lot of it. There's so many people who would love to give back to the forest. Like, I always wanted to give back to the forest. And anytime I had gone walking down a trail and I saw garbage, I was the first one to pick it up, throw it in my pack, and take it out. Because I didn't want it to be there for the next family that came down with their kids, or for anyone who just wanted to go along and sit along one of the many waterways. Personally, I go and find waterfalls, waterways, and I just go sit there and I just can recharge my batteries. I don't know how to explain that. You have a day where it's just nonstop, go, 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 matter if you're an attorney or if you're a photographer like I am. And it's kind of nice to escape out into the forest and just hear the water running and see the beauty of nature and just recharge your batteries.
Well, there have been a number of studies done in recent times about how important that is to human beings. And I think we tend to lose sight of that in an urban kind of a world these days. It is an inherent part of us that needs that kind of rejuvenation that nature provides. And I think we need to take care of the wild places and keep those opportunities available for people.
Amen. So before I let you go, John, I want to know, what was your favorite experience in the Pisgah National Forest?
I've had so many good experiences. It's hard to say. Some of the ones that come to mind are actually in some ways bad experiences, but they're fun to look back on and laugh. I mean, I slept through a hurricane in Graveyard Fields one time.
Oh, wow.
With a camp group. And, you know, we had, well, I say hurricane, it probably wasn't technically a hurricane, but, you know, we had no tents. We had tarps tied to trees, and you've got this rain blowing sideways all night long. But it was just, this was the end of a wonderful trip where we had gone, you know, hiking back through the Shining Rock Wilderness. And, you know, on events like that or projects like that, you have some adversity. You know, you have things that you have to overcome. And looking back on them, that's what makes it so special. I can think on that same trip of, you know, stripping off our clothes in the middle of the woods and jumping off of, you know, 25-foot high rocks into pools of water. Mm-hmm. Now, the Forest Service might not want me talking about that, but, you know, some of that is what is so wonderful about that place. You can be a little wild and just in a gorgeous place and have a wonderful time with it.
And that's true. And like you said, it recharges your batteries. It's part of what makes us human, is reconnecting with where we came from. And if you haven't experienced that, I would invite you to come out and visit the Pisgah National Forest, fall in love with it, become a part of the Conservancy with John Cottingham and the groups that help to maintain it and take care of the trails, and also, of course, the forest itself and the wildlife and the flora that's there. I think one of my favorite experiences ever in the Pisgah National Forest is when I got lost. And people are like, isn't that scary? I go, well, yeah, I was a little worried. But I'd gotten lost. I'd gotten lost, and I had found this really magnificent tree that spread off in three separate directions, and it had this crazy vine growing up through the middle of it, and I was able to capture a photo of that. And I was able to find my way out. I mean, I eventually found the path that I had kind of wandered off on. But it was just this really cool experience. And I've had more people give me compliments about that photo. And I never would have gotten it if I hadn't gotten lost.
Well, there's something special about being a little lost in a place like that. But I would also encourage people to know what they're doing, because it can be dangerous. And you only have to talk to the rescue squads to know how bad it can go when people wander off into the wilderness not knowing what they're doing and not dressed for it or prepared for it.
Well, right. And I make light of a situation which could have been a lot worse, of course. And I agree with you. If you're going to go out into the forest, and especially if you're going to go off the trail, make sure that, and I have a GPS unit that I take with me, not on my phone, because right. you lose service in the forest, but an actual GPS unit that I take with me that has a battery life, which seems like it goes for 2 weeks, but that's because I don't look at it all the time. But that way it can help you find your way back to civilization and get out of the forest, because the Pisgah National Forest is massive. But anyways, John, I appreciate your time. And again, please visit the website. It's PisgahConservancy.org, correct?
That's correct. So thanks to all of you out there who do that, and thanks to those who have already done it and been working with us on these volunteer days or contributing to help keep us running. So thanks very much. It's much appreciated.
Don't wander off now. Explore with RWD will be right back after this.
Hey, it's RWD here again, and when I'm out exploring new areas, I always take my camera along with me because I'm also a nature and wildlife photographer. And you can see some of that imagery at explorewithrwd.com, but more importantly, I want you to experience it the best I can provide it to you. And that's why I usually grab video of waterfalls, forests, and any place that can help you just reconnect with nature through either your cell phone, your laptop, your tablet, or even your computer. You can find my YouTube channel at explorewithrwd.com.
That wasn't too bad now, was it? Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Now, before you wash up your coffee cup in the sink and hit the front door and get on your way, I want to take a second and thank John Cunningham again for his time talking about the Pisgah Conservancy. Please get involved either by donating or spending some time with them and helping to conserve the Pisgah National Forest. You might actually see me out there on a few of their projects as well with another Pisgah Pride Day. You can learn more about them at PisgahConservancy.org. Again, that's PisgahConservancy.org. And I want to personally thank you for listening to this podcast. It really means the world to me. So please, if you get a chance, subscribe right now to the Explore with RWD podcast on whatever platform you may be listening on. And in episode 12 next week, we're going to be chatting with Eric Hurley, who was a part of the motion picture The Last of the Mohicans, which a portion of it was shot in the DuPont State Recreational Forest. And he's going to talk about how he got to interact on that film. And he also had a major role, not on screen so much, but behind the scenes with The Patriot. And he'll talk about that as well. Oh yeah, and before I forget, if there's someone or a place that you think I need to go discover and make a podcast about, then please send me the details when you email Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at explorewithrwd.com. And finally, if no one else has told you this yet today, I love you, and I know the good Lord above loves you. He has promised you that. So make sure to count your blessings. Even in these very dark times, He is working constantly to bless your life. And remember, no matter what you've done, you are forgiven. All you need to do is truly ask and mean it. And He will separate your sin from you like the east from the west. So until next week in episode 12, peace, love, and coon dogs, y'all.
Thank you for listening. Visit us online at explorewithrwd.com to discover more about Roger, his photography, podcast, and adventures. Or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at explorewithrwd. Remember, we didn't inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow it from our children. May God bless you and yours. Now get outside and go explore. Explore with RWD is produced by Downs Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.